Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the March 4th edition, episode 59 of the Hughes Sports Podcast. I am your host for the irrational, the crazy, the madman, who's alongside me with this ride, the old man. Old man, how the hell are you doing?
Why are you going to start off like that?
Why are you going to
start off and call me like old and mad?
Well, you are mad. You're a crazy person.
Hi, folks.
Are you telling me you're not a little crazy?
I'm not talking to you.
Well, this is going to be a really awkward podcast then. All right, we're just going to keep going. We are the Hughes Sports Podcast, your irrational home. Your home for the irrational fan. The Vancouver. Home. You know, let's just retry that all together again. You're a home of the irrational Vancouver Canucks and BC Lions, and covering everything else in the CFL as well. How the hell are you doing, old man?
I'm doing good. Doing life is good.
You're doing a little bit better than your predictions did this week.
Hey, shut the up.
You're
going to pick on me. Like, first you called me old, then you called me mad. Now you've got to jump right into the fact that I was right in my predictions.
You were not. Okay. You brought this argument up to me last night, and I'm not going to get into it right now. We're going to wait until we get to the old man predict segment of the show, because we now have segments in our show. But no, you're not right.
I'll use my logic later. Carry on.
Let's just jump straight into it with things for...
Lots to talk about.
What do we want to talk about first?
What do you want to talk about? I think we got to talk about the extension first.
Okay, so let's jump...
That's the biggest news in Vancouverland.
That is the biggest news. Elias Pettersson, who we talked about last week, was the Canucks were taking phone calls on Elias Pettersson, has signed for 8 years... $11.6 million per year.
It's about $1 million lower than a lot of people predicted. A lot of people were predicting the 12.5.
Yep.
So kudos to management team for getting it done at 11.6. But we might add in kudos to... Who was it on Hockey Night in Canada that brought all this, started all this rumor?
Well,
Friedman.
It wasn't. So there's a lot of innuendo that Friedman really started this, and I'd like to dispel that. It was the Carolina Hurricanes offering what people are now calling a legit trade offer to the Canucks that, as per Rick Dhaliwal, surrounded two top end talents, a first overall pick, another pick, and another high-end prospect.
Do you think this was a case of the Canucks leaked information out to Friedman, and which made kind of put Petey on the kind of lit a fire under his butt? And from what I've read, it was literally Petey who went and said, "Get this effing done. I'm tired of hearing about it."
Well, the big thing was always that the Canucks were ready to negotiate. Like, the Canucks basically said, name your price and how long do you want to stay here? We'll negotiate the finer points. Like,
yes.
That's where they were at. And Petey said, wait till the end of the year. And then clearly with the trade offer, the Elliot Friedman talking about it, the Jeff Merrick's, Frank Sert, like all the big names were talking about it every day for about a week.
Which really pushed it to the forefront, and I think that's what made it had to get done. Did he lose $1 million a year in the process?
No.
But, I mean...
I honestly believe that Elias Pettersson, as he said, he never wanted to leave Vancouver.
No.
That he always wanted to stay. And this, it's a big number. We look at it, $11.6 million. That's a huge number.
It's huge.
We saved $1 million. Like, the lowest I thought the contract would have been would start with 12.
Yeah, I mean, we saved literally $8 million that we can sign Hronek with, right? Well, I don't know what that number is.
We're not saving $8 million. We're saving $8 million over the course of the contract, yes.
Yeah, that's what I mean, right?
It's only $100,000 more than William Nylander.
Yep.
He's making the same amount of money that Artemi Panarin signed back in 2019.
It, I mean, I think it's huge kudos go out to the Canucks management team.
Yeah.
For putting this together and making it happen. It's the richest contract in Canuck history. And I think they nailed it. I think they did a good job. And kudos. Let's move forward. We can stop talking about it.
And despite it being a huge cap hit, it's only 13.89% of next year's cap. Yeah. And we're expecting a huge increase to the year after that for cap space. So it's going to be 10% of the cap.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to be. I don't think it's a detriment to our team.
No, I mean, I definitely don't think it's a detriment. I don't think, I mean, even at 12.5, he's playing up to that contract's value over those 8 years. Oh, so yeah. It's just, it allows us to have that room to sign some of these players that we have coming up. We have a lot of UFAs this year. This is the list of just UFAs.
Why is Cole spelt with a C-O?
It's been changed. On my end, it's been changed. On everyone's seeing it change. You're the only one who sees it now.
Really?
Yep.
That's weird, because I see two capital letters.
Huh. Yeah, I already fixed it. I fixed it. Literally, it popped up, and then I took it down and brought it back up.
Oh, did you? Cool. Yep. Okay. That's weird that I don't see that, eh? Anyway, now I guess you go through and does Meyer stick around?
Well, so we have, I'm just pulling it up here. We have projected of $24.75 million. And this doesn't include signing Hronek or Podkolzin, because they are restricted free agents. So Hronek and Podkolzin would be signed on top of this.
Right. So let's go through your list. Myers. It's funny because just before we came on the air tonight, our good friend Wyatt Arndt made a tweet and he said, "We've been through so much together. I'm firmly in ride or die territory now with the Chaos Giraffe."
Still not there. Still not there. I got to see what the contract looks like for me to be
ride or die. He does say new, cheaper contract. Let's go.
Because right now he is making $6 million.
He's not worth $6 million. He's not the $6 million man.
No, not even close. But.
Because that was Lee Majors.
Sure, that's a dated reference.
Oh, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about, but it was from what, the 80s?
Okay, chat, fill him in.
It's 80s? 70s?
Stop. Okay, so Myers, what do you sign him for?
If I'm in charge and have all the almighty power, I'm signing him to a 2-year, $2.2 million contract.
You're not going to get Myers for 2.2.
Then he walks.
Because he can get 4 or 5 anywhere else.
Okay, go right. Make 4 or 5. Go make 4 or 5 somewhere else.
I agree. But I don't think you're going to even, that's an insult. He's good. Making 6 and you're going to drop him down to 2.2.
He was playing first line minutes when he signed that $6 million contract. Look at his minutes over the last 2 years.
I don't think we're gonna get him for less than 4.
If it's anywhere near the 4 range, I think we walk away.
Okay. Then Lindholm.
I don't think there's a chance.
Disappointment or success?
Lindholm?
Yeah.
I think it's still too early to tell.
Yes, I agree.
But it's he's come at a time where the entire team has kind of stumbled.
Yeah.
So I think it's way too early to tell. If he turned down a $9 million contract from the Flames, is he going to be anywhere near the price range of what we want to sign?
No.
I think we got him in a deal to get rid of
Cousy
and. In that we got a great rental piece.
Yes, I agree. Okay, so Lindholm walks, Myers walks, because Myers isn't going to sign for 2.2.
In my world, yeah.
How about Zadorov?
Nikita Zadorov is making $3.75 million right now. From the sounds of it, he wants a pretty decent increase of that.
Really?
Yeah. In my estimation, he's probably like, if you can get him to five and a half for 4 or 5 years.
See,
four years.
In my head, I went 4.5 to 5 on him.
Yeah. Because he's 28 right now. So he'll be like, if you do a 4-year contract, 32, yeah. that's where I think. I mean, the player's obviously going to want longer. So if you get him at 5.5, but if you can get him at 5.5 for 4 years, the term's better.
Or do you go 4 for 7?
That the problem is, right? the last years of those deals are going to be really brutal.
Yes.
So it's a lot about managing that expectation and what the team's going to be needing at that point.
Exactly. Okay, so you're saying Zadorov.
Try your best to sign him. Again, exactly. You don't need to back up the Brinks truck for him, but no. At least take a shot at him. Exactly. Ian Cole. I'm gonna lump the next four all in a
Cole,
thing together.
Luger, DeSmith, and Lafferty.
If you can put all four of those, if you can get can sign one of them for the exact same price that you're making right now, go for it.
That's so fine. You're only gonna keep one of them. You're not keeping all four.
I don't think so. I think DeSmith's. I mean, based off DeSmith's play recently, probably not in for a good raise. The way he was playing earlier in the year was on pace for a good raise to be a solid backup. Yeah. Cole, Bluger, and Lafferty, I think, to me, Bluger is the only one that is you should keep. Cole and Lafferty, you can find on the open market for cheaper, and you have to get cheaper because you don't have money.
Okay. So you're getting rid of Myers, you're getting rid of Lindholm, you're getting rid of Cole, you're getting rid of DeSmith, and you're getting rid of Lafferty, and you're signing Cole for how much?
No, sorry, you're keeping Bluger.
Bluger, sorry. You're getting rid of Cole, DeSmith, and Lafferty, and you're keeping Bluger.
If you can get him for 2.2 to 2.5 for a year or two, that's great.
How much?
2 to 2.5.
Okay, for Bluger. Now you've got Joshua.
Yes. And I have to find his contract because it's in a different spot. Dakota Joshua. He's making $825 right now.
$825,000 only?
Yes.
Only. It's only $825,000.
Correct.
Dom.
He's going to be
Hold on. Sorry. I'm going to interrupt because Dom's not making any sense. When did you post that? 2 minutes ago. Oh, yes. Sign him to a 7-year classic Canucks.
Zadorov. You sign Zadorov to a 7-year contract.
I said go lower, sign him 7 years. Okay, I got you, Dom. I got you. And that's what we do. And we like make the back end heavy so we can't trade him.
or buy him out. Or
It's what we do.
It's what we do.
Joshua.
Joshua.
Basically making league minimum.
I think that is league minimum. I think
it was 750.
Could be 750.
Yeah.
Dakota Joshua, you've got to be looking at 3.5 to 4 million, and you sign him for as long as you want. He wants.
Yeah.
Let's say 5 years for 3.5.
Yeah.
Friedman, Irwin, and Dries, don't really care about. Great AHL players. Seventh defenseman, six or
you're not going to pay more than a 1.5.
Yeah,
for any of those three.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
these are the two that are going to be costly. Hronek and Podkolzin. So Filip Hronek, and I'm pulling this up because
Hronek's making. I read it. I want to say six something, isn't he?
Sorry, I'm going back here. I'm trying to read.
He's trying to read, folks.
Filip Hronek is making $4.4 million right now.
$4.4 million.
Yeah.
So can you sign him for $6.5 million?
No. God, no.
You think it's going to be closer to that $8 million mark?
I think you're closer to that $8 million mark.
Yeah.
I think if you can get him for $8 million, if you can get him for anything under $8 million, that is a fantastic, fantastic deal. Just the numbers he's put up, especially with since coming over to the Canucks with Hughes, the chemistry he's got with Hughes. If you can get him to 7.75 for and match him up with Patterson, great. If you can get 7 years or 8 years at 7.75, that's a home run.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And then you've got Podkolzin.
Yeah.
Who's on his entry level contract making 925. Who I could see making 1.75, 2 million.
Yeah.
In a bridge deal to kind of prove yourself. Like he hasn't proven he can stick in the NHL, but he's proven that he's an NHL caliber player or has the ceiling to get there.
At times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how much money did I put into the books with letting
everybody that you said go? So you're going to go, you're 4.5 on Zadorov.
Give me one second. I'm opening up a calculator. 4.5.
You got Bluger at 2.5.
2.5.
Joshua at 4.
4.
You got 7.5 for Hronik.
7.5.
And let's just go 2 for Pod.
Cool. That's 20.5 million.
How much?
20.5 million. So that would give us $4 million. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, with still 5 players left to sign to make your deal, your roster.
Right. How much?
5 million.
So you could do it.
I think you need to be looking at the AHL where you've got Baines who could potentially come up, Podkolzin, who again we're signing, but you've got.
Remember when I was going down to Vancouver? It was for my birthday. When I was going down to watch the BC Lions game with Arlan Bruce.
Yes.
And I sat beside that gentleman whose son was playing on the Abbotsford Canucks.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Was it Nielsen?
Yes. Nielsen.
I tried finding him today. I can't find head no hails, tails. I can't find him. He disappeared.
Christian Nielsen. He's played 40 games for the Abbotsford Canucks.
Huh.
23 points, minus 12, 29 penalty minutes.
So he hasn't had a stellar year, I'll say.
Nope, but he is 24, so he was undrafted. He's from Fort St. John, so.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, making a solid AHL career.
Yeah.
But.
I was trying to find him, and I think I was typing in the wrong name, to be honest. So Nielsen just came to me when we were here.
Tristan Nielsen.
But, that's it.
But it's going to take a bunch of those types of players to fill in that fourth line.
Yes.
To fill in to pair in, like finding Noah Juulsen, being able to play those heavy defensive minutes this year has been huge for the Canucks moving forward. Cause you don't need to find another defenseman. Like,
yeah.
Let's say Zadorov. Where did this go? If we lose Ian Cole, Zadorov, and Myers, we've only got 4 defensemen right now.
Well, that's the problem, right? So, I mean, you got 4 really good defensemen.
Yeah. Can you pair them with someone who's not, like, can you bring up a Cole McWard and can you get enough minutes out of them, right? You don't need to be spending millions of dollars, but say Cole goes to market or Cole comes in and says, I'm willing to stay for $1.5 million instead of 3 because I can see this team making a playoff run. Okay, you're 36. That's an okay contract for that.
Exactly. Right? Now, the question is there one last trade? And that's going to play a big part in everything you just did. We could be looking at this next week going, okay, we have to redo all these numbers because we made a big trade.
Yes. And I think there's going to be a lot of big trades in the next 4 days.
The deadline's Friday, is it not?
Deadline is Friday. So I believe there's been very small rumblings. And this is not confirmed. This is just me and my Twitter feelings and my tuition check is that Philip Hronek will be traded rather than signed.
Well, and that's funny because I read that as well. And I went, yeah, that's not going to freaking happen. And nobody else talked about it. Just, it was, and I forget who it was. I don't know if it was.
Was it Wyatt or?
No, I think it was, what's his name? Our, the guy that comes on our show, our friend.
Mr. Sakaris.
I think it was Sakaris. That might have been.
Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me. That's where it got in my ear, right? Yeah. Where it's one of those things where, why wouldn't you? If you go to him and say, hey, like, what are you looking at? And he says 8.9, because that's what I'm worth. It's like, okay, cool. That's where we're starting. It's going to be a hard negotiation to get you down to that, to the 8, the 7.5 that we'd like to sign you at.
Yeah.
So let's see what the open market gives.
Changes everything, doesn't it?
Also changes our entire defensive core.
We better be getting a right-hand shot in if we're trading off Hronek.
Correct.
Right? I mean, you can't just trade him for a bag of pucks and a rubber chicken like we used to in the past.
No. I mean, again, everything we do moving forward has to be with the sights towards, this is a run. This is a year to make a run.
This is it. This is our year. This is the...
Right now, we have a 99.98% chance to make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're guaranteed the playoffs, let's face it. I mean, there's a 0.2% chance we're not going to make the playoffs.
Yep.
We're making the playoffs. All we need, I think, is one more win, don't we?
I don't know the exact math. It's in my brain, it's still so far out to be doing the math of like when teams can clinch.
Really,
but it's really not for us.
20 games left, 21 games. It's not many.
Yeah. It's a lot less than I think it is.
Yeah. It's not many at all, because we're already in March.
Yep.
Right?
We have played 63 games, so there's 19 games.
What terrifies me? I looked at the standings, and Edmonton's only 8 points behind us with 4 games in hand.
9 points behind us.
With 4 games in hand.
Yep.
Math is hard.
Well, they're winning at a 6.44 point percentage. So if they win at that level or better.
They're not. And this is where this whole winning percentage, they're actually winning at a way higher percentage.
Over the last 10, 6-3-1.
Is that all? Really? Last 10, 6-3-1?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, so they're not going to catch us. Screw you. Hey, Ray. Hey, Ray.
But we've also played more games than
comment he made?
Everyone. Let me finish my thought. We've played more games than everyone in the Pacific.
I know.
We don't leave the Pacific time zone.
And we got this
until
road trip.
April.
We got this road trip and then 9 home games. I love it.
This is perfect.
I love it. Okay, can I give Ray a hard time?
You can give Ray a hard time.
Comment on my hoodie. I didn't wear my hoodie, by the way. I didn't wear my new hoodie or my podcast hoodie. What the fudge is up with that? It's because I'm cold. I actually got a blanket. You can't see it. Now you can. I got a blanket because I am literally freezing my ass off. I don't know why.
Turn up the heat. It's not like you live in a basement suite or something.
You can't bring that heat above 20. Come on now. Anyways, my nephew, Ray, him and I are going to a game on April 13th.
Yes.
Vancouver versus Edmonton Oilers. He used to be a diehard Canuck fan, and he was one of those people that moved to Edmonton and became an Oilers fan. And now he makes comments on my post. Oh, we're going to be playing for first place in our conference on the 13th. Screw that! If that's the case, I'm going to have a heart attack when I'm there. Ray, are you prepared to give your uncle mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? Because you might have to.
I don't think anyone wants mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. No offense, Ray.
What are you doing?
I'm multitasking here.
I know, you're freaking having a light show over there.
Well, stop paying attention to it.
Well, I can't. You got blue lights going. You got yellow lights flashing. Stop it.
It's a rave. Getting back focused here on the Canucks. It felt like a rather rough 2 weeks for the Canucks. Like record wise,
you think
it was just a shitty all around mood in the Canucks. Do you think that the Ducks win last night? Elias Pettersson signing. Do you think that's enough to kind of change the vibes?
I know what you mean. I thought the Boston game was going to do that. It didn't really help much.
Oh, not at all.
So, what is it going to take to get these guys? And I keep saying it. I've said it week after week this last few weeks when we've gone through this slump. Sure glad we're doing it now. But I want them to kick their ass and get it back into gear because I want to go into the playoffs strong. Yep. But is it a case of there? You took it down there, but we're 99.98% chance of making the playoffs, and they're like, "Yeah, okay, let's just come to the playoffs." That's what we do. Yep, we'll connect. And then they're going to lose in the first round, and I'm going to cry again.
If we lose in the first round, is that a huge failure?
Yes.
Okay.
Would it have been? Would I be saying that back in September? No. But in March, when we've played as well as we have this season, yes, losing in the first round is a complete and utter failure and blow the whole fucking thing up.
Wow. This is the irrational part of the irrational fans.
This is when Rod says, "I just can't talk to you about sports. You're irrational."
You are irrational though. You tend to make things out like make grandiose statements when emotional.
Pot kettle.
I'm calm, cool, and collected. Look, I came into the season and I said, I'm going to go in with a breath of fresh air. I said, I'm going to go in and be positive. And I can go find clips of early in the season, like before the season starts, you being like, it's going to last a week and he's going to get grumpy. And blah, 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 blah. And what happened? You're the one who lost your shit first.
But we were winning. I was losing my shit for the good stuff. Dom, you're in the chat. I know you're in the chat. Jake said he was calm, cool, and collected. Can you verify that? You live with him. I was gonna say
he's lived with me throughout this entire season. I've been more calm, cool, and collected.
This season.
Yeah, we're not talking about the past. Thank you, D. Thank you.
I went off chat. I have to go back over to chat. Ah, don't push that button. Jake will get mad when we end the stream all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Jake's always calm, cool, and have you watched a hockey game with him? There's no cool and collective involved in him.
What can I say?
Not possible. More calm does not mean calm.
Hey, you get out of here. Who invited you? Something that you brought up to me this morning is want to talk about Hoglander. 19 even strength goals. Four of them are game-winning goals, and a lot of the time, even when the team's not playing well, he's in there in the gritty areas, making like digging the puck out, getting opportunities. He is tied for second in the league, on the Canucks for most even strength goals. If I had told you that before you checking that, like finding that set, would that make sense to you? The way we talk about Hoglander?
I would have gone and tried to prove you wrong and gone to go to look at the stats and go, shit. Because it just didn't seem possible that Hoglander was second in scoring even strength goals. Now, the funny part is, I guess he doesn't play the power play because he has zero power play goals.
I think he occasionally does. Bits and pieces.
He has zero power play goals.
Give me a second. My brain is not working properly here. On the second unit of the power play. So they get all of like 20 seconds a game on the power play. So
it's insane compared to the old days, when like the second unit got this a full minute.
Yeah.
Sometimes more.
Yeah.
Now with, I don't know if other teams are like this, but I know the Canucks. I mean,
it seems
will go a minute and a half.
It seems to be pretty standard along the league.
Is it?
With that being the case.
Yeah.
The fact that there's you load up your first power play and you don't really pay attention to your second one. It's like, oh, you guys are the secondary scoring, you guys can get some power play time.
I tried to use that on my boss today.
Which?
That the fact that I worked for a minute and a half and now I needed a rest.
It didn't go over too well? No.
Yeah, apparently not.
It's upsetting. I get it. It's upsetting, though.
Yeah. Minute and a half's a long time.
No comment. But Hoglander has just been that quiet. Oh, we broke the old man. We broke the old man so much he had to actually go off screen. I'm proud of that one. But Hoglander has been, I think, quietly like the unsung hero for the Vancouver Canucks. There is an award that the Canucks give out at the end of every season called the Unsung Hero Award. And if it's not given to Hoglander, I think it's very, very, very wrong.
Yeah, for unsung hero, for sure.
Yes.
For sure.
MVP has to be... that's an interesting discussion. I keep seeing it being brought up. And if you were to hand out the MVP for the Vancouver Canucks, not for the league, for the Vancouver Canucks, who would you give it to this year? Because to me, it comes down to three players.
Yeah, it's going to be Hughes, Miller, or Petey.
Oh, that's wrong. Wrong couldn't be more wrong if your name was Mr. Wrong, the mayor of Wrongville.
Who would you say?
Demko. Take out PD, put in Demko.
Nah, they're going to stick with my three.
I think you're wrong.
PD has one job, stop a puck. That's all he does.
PD or...
I mean, sorry, Demko. Demko has one job. It's like he's like a kicker.
And he's pretty fucking good at that.
He's like a kicker. Nobody likes a kicker.
83 points for JT Miller, 75 for Elias Pettersson.
83 points.
83 points. He's got 8 points more than JT Miller has 8 more points than Elias Pettersson.
Yeah, so what's your point?
He's plus 14 better. Like if you're looking at between Miller and Pettersson, it's not even close to being an argument.
I honestly think it has to be Miller. And we talked about this. I don't know if it was on the air or just you and I chatting, where I said, Miller's the type of player that is a game changer.
Yep.
And when he decides to change the game, he can change the game.
Yep.
And both ways too, I might add.
if he gets tilted, that his game goes down the toilet.
And so does the rest of the team. They follow him. They just swirl right down with him with that big, large turd that follows them, turns blue-brown.
I 100% agree with Dom here. So, Canucks without Demko end up looking like the New Jersey Devils this year. They look like a great team until someone shoots a puck at their net and actually hits the net. The puck trickles in.
Yeah, true enough, right?
It would
be a hard one because I agree. I would hate to not give it to Demko because he's been great.
But how do you not give it to Miller?
And I mean, Hughes has been phenomenal.
Right? Like I understand putting Elias Pettersson in that group just because he's a big name. He is a superstar player.
But you called me wrong, the mayor of Wrongville. He'd be
number four out of the, giving your top three. Right. And like a giant gap between the top three and Petey. Don't I me.
No, I think you pretty much have to give it to Miller at this point. Now, Demko could make a... I mean, I would listen to an argument for Demko, but if it was like Miller or Hughes, I think I'd go with Miller.
It's hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah.
Because... like Hughes is the motor that gets the team running out of the defensive zone so many times. He's the key piece on the power play that keeps the things moving in the offense. Like when we have pressure in the offensive zone, Hughes is very much the key person who keeps it moving.
Yeah.
Right. He's usually on the ice for that. So I think it's really tough. And I heard this argument back in January and it's like, it'll clear itself out by the time like the end of March comes, middle of March. It's only made it more murky.
I wouldn't want to be the person making this decision, to be honest.
No.
At all.
It's
pay attention. Hello, we're over here.
I'm paying attention. I'm doing multitasking, looking at stats here.
Ladies, gentlemen, if you're not watching, you're missing half the show. As we're doing this, Jake is playing a video game on the screen beside him.
That's not true at all.
We don't know what's going on. We just sit here, we talk, we wait for Jake to finish whatever he's doing.
Like, there's Connor Hellebuck, Sergei Bobrovsky.
What?
Joey, let me finish my thought process before you start interrupting. I have to fucking go back and look through this. Connor Hellebuck, Joey Decord, Cam Talbot, Uko Pekka. That's fucking, what the fuck sort of name is this? Uko Pekka Luukkonen. And then Thatcher Demko for goals against average in goalies. Like, he's top five in the league right now.
I was like, can you get to your point? Because now you're just making names up.
Uko Pekka Luukkonen.
I've never heard of that name.
He's Buffalo's goalie. I've heard of Luukkonen. I didn't know his name was Uko Pekka. Uko dash Pekka. They're just throwing letters together at this point.
There's no vowels in there.
It's only vowels, it feels like. There's a letter called a W and they use two U's. You don't understand a W is for that? Moving on.
Thank goodness.
It's time for my favorite segment of the show. Is it?
It's time for the old man predictions. How well did he do? Do do da, do dee do.
Do do da, do dee do. How well did he do?
Dancing.
How well did he do? Well, he predicted last week that we would go 3-0, and the Canucks went 1-1-1.
Which is 3.
No, that's 1-1-1. There's no other,
but there was 3.
1-1-1 is not 3.
1 + 1 + 1 = 3, Jake.
Yeah, you know how many games we played. I'm proud of you.
And it was 3 points.
You never said 3 points. You said 3-0-0.
The old man nails it again.
You're farthest from nailing it. We didn't. Like, if we went 0-3,
did we not get 3 points?
I don't give a shit about points. You have not been predicting points this entire time.
Oh, I was this week. Oh, I didn't tell you that?
Except for the fact that you said 3-0.
Well, yeah, we're going to get 3 points.
So where does the O come from? We're not going to give up any points? We gave up 3 points, too.
No, we're just going to get 3 points, I said. I said three. No. The number 3.
See, I'm going to have to chop out your predictions just to play them back for you. I think in your old age, the mind has started to wobble.
Who was the first game we played last week that we lost?
It was against, give me 1 second. I don't have that up right now, so I'm loading it.
Folks, this is what happens when Jake comes over on a Sunday and we stay up until like midnight and I got to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Not my fault.
It was your fault.
We played the Penguins.
Oh, right. We lost.
Lost in overtime.
Yeah. That went my prediction. So I had the whole week to prepare for being wrong.
So you that was the only reason you needed to know. I thought you had some sort of insight to that game.
Nah, I went to bed. No, I didn't. I watched that whole game. It was the next game I went to bed.
Yeah, the game against... Who was it against?
Was it... We lost the next one, didn't we?
Kings, yeah.
Yeah, I went to bed.
Kings, we lost 5-1.
Yeah, we were down two goals going into the third. It was 9:30, almost 10 o'clock.
And that's, I was like... That's well past his bedtime, folks.
I'm going to go try to wake her up. But yeah, I went to bed.
And then last night, we ended up winning 2-1 on the first game of our road trip. But this next week is a hard, rough week.
Oh, just stop. Dom, stop trying to do math. Carry on.
What are you talking about? 3-0-0? That's, if you win three games, that's six points.
That's three.
No, that's six. Three wins is 6 points. Either way, we're moving on. this week's games. We're playing the Kings, who we most recently lost to just last week at a 5-1 loss. Then we play the Golden Noodles at a 4-1 loss was the last time we played them. And then we play the Jets, where we lost 4-2 the last time we played them. So, what I'm saying is this is our stretch that could be really, really, really detrimental to us holding first in the Pacific. And if we don't finish first in the Pacific, I am very, very concerned. Don't be humming me.
I'm concentrating to get my prediction right. See, are why my predictions have been off, because Jake interrupts me, folks.
Because God forbid we have conversation and talking on a podcast.
My goodness, just let me, I have to connect. I can't just pull these things out of my ass. Is that what you think I do? Do you think I actually pull these predictions out of my butt?
That is 100% what you do.
No. How many times have you seen me point over to the other side?
I'm calling that your butt now.
I don't even know what to predict here. I'm going to go 2-1.
2-1, all right.
Yeah, I think we'll beat the Kings, we'll lose to the Noodles, and we'll beat the Jets. I'd like to say 3-0, and I'll be happy if we go 3-0, obviously. But
I think another week of 1-1-1.
People don't understand simple math, so I can't go 3-0 this time.
I think a 1-1-1 record would be fantastic. Would be a good result. Not fantastic. It would be a good result for this week.
It worries
getting 3
me.
Points out of 3 games, where the last time we played these teams, we got 0 points.
The wheels have fallen off. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, the nice thing is, after the Jets game, we have 3 days off in a row.
Oh. So when's the last time we could say that?
We have the 3 games here, again, all on the road. So we played in Anaheim last night, play in LA tomorrow, Vegas on Thursday. Saturday, we're back home. Then we have 3 days off. And that starts the Winnipeg game starts 9 in a row. 10 in a row at home. 9 in a row. I can't do math. 9 in a row at home. And since this schedule is, whoever made the schedule this year, so I'm looking ahead to April, they did a really bang up job. Because, so the last 3 games we play, no, the last, sorry, the last 5 games we play LA, the Golden Noodles, Arizona, Oilers, Flames, and Jets.
Yeah. That's a huge stretch.
The only two, like the one team that clearly won't have anything, any playoff doubts, will be the Coyotes.
Yeah.
They're completely out. The Flames, if they don't trade everyone at the trade deadline on Friday, they could end up This could be a make the playoffs or miss the playoffs sort of play. I still think that there's a big trade coming with the Flames.
I think Markstrom's going to go. He was pissed that New Jersey fell apart, eh?
I thought the original rumors were that he kiboshed it.
No, he waived his do not trade clause for that to happen. Then it was pulled.
By who? Did you see the reporting today from the PDO cast?
No. Was it their illustrious owner again?
I'm gonna try to find this here because I know who tweeted it.
DJ Streams says Flames owner. Yeah, he's such a good owner. I like him. He's one of our favorites, right, Jake?
My favorite human being in the world.
Yes.
Yeah,
he packed his bags and was ready to stay in Jersey on the road trip. Here, let's put that up there. That's a good comment. We got to get this guy on the show.
Term caused to fall through. That was what I heard. I'm trying to find it. I can't find the tweet anymore. Cervelli saying he believes Flames and Devils had agreed to a trade in principle for Markstrom, and then Don Maloney, on behalf of ownership, nixed the trade.
Once again, an owner. A toxic owner. Wonder why he would do that. Does a team become more valuable if they make the playoffs or if they don't make the playoffs?
I would assume they would be more valuable if they made the playoffs.
Okay, more just checking. That's I just wanted to check that.
Yeah, that would be my I'm no businessman, and I definitely don't want to insinuate or anything like that. But
no, because that's not what we do.
No.
We
report facts when we get them, and we abide by all the laws and
regulations
requests when asked to do so.
Yeah. I was just checking because sometimes, I mean, if you miss the playoffs because, let's say, hypothetically, you were tanking and you missed the playoffs, would your team become less valuable?
Depends on who you're... draft pick is. If you got someone like Connor Bedard, that your franchise value would actually probably go up despite the fact that you.
But if you finished, I don't know how many the 16 teams make the playoffs. No, 30. Yeah, 16 teams make the playoffs. So if you finished 18th, probably would lose value compared to making the playoffs
or finishing dead last. Yeah.
Yeah. Just saying. Okay.
Or to be fair, not finishing dead last, winning the lottery, winning the draft lottery.
Yes, winning the lottery, yes.
The definitely not rigged lottery.
Can we talk about the CFL? No, football?
Yeah, of course we can talk about football. It is CFL adjacent, and it makes me sick to even think this, that you might start watching Patriot games. Because Nathan
Rourke, I will be a Patriots fan.
Nathan Rourke re-signs with the Pats. It's a one-year deal. And is expected to fight for the backup position.
Yeah. That is exciting.
From what I was reading, there's not a lot of hope of him even pushing for a starter job.
You never know. Just give a kid an opportunity.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's
was not there expected. I looked, but I could, and I didn't look that hard because I was at work. But was there any talk about how much he signed for or what it?
I tried to look today. I tried to look today very quickly, but I couldn't find anything. So, okay. Yeah, nothing too crazy. I don't think we would have heard if it was a crazy, crazy deal. But yeah, Nathan Rourke. Re-ups with the Pats. But Kev, why would a team's value matter? Well, a team's value matters to an owner in many different ways. The amount of money that they can get loans for, if they're negotiating with a city to build a new stadium or the anything like that, or if there were hypothetically to say rumors or innuendo of a trade or not a trade, sorry, a sale of ownership, a trade of ownership for money, that would change things.
It would.
Those are a couple of reasons why an owner might care about value for their team.
Exactly. But what do we know? Should we touch? We didn't write it down, but should we touch on? I know you probably don't have turnbuckle segment ready to go, but we got a few minutes left here. I don't see anything else.
I don't have anything else.
Do you want to touch on what we did last night?
Sure. Give me 1 second. For those who do not like the wrestling, that's fine. We love you. We appreciate you for tuning in to during the non-wrestling talk. But we're going to do like the last 9 minutes of the show and do the turnbuckle.
Turnbuckle.
That is right. We're talking. You need to stop dancing. Talking everything wrestling this past weekend, yesterday. It feels like such a long time ago because I did nothing today but prepare for the show. AEW Revolution was on the air. Do we want to run through the card fully, or do we just want to kind of touch on highlights, lowlights?
Yeah, let's just touch on it. We don't need to go through the whole card, do we? We can if you want, real quick. But what was your highlight? Well, let's just do this. What was your? What would you say was the number one match in the whole show?
Takeshita Osprey.
Why isn't it Takeshita?
Without a doubt. Again, every time I see Will Ospreay in a ring, in a pay-per-view match, he's putting it on as if it's the last match you'll ever see from him, and he's going out and making a statement.
Did you have an opportunity to watch his press conference after?
No, I did not.
I meant to send it to you, because he shows his back end.
Oh, where he got dropped on his... Oh.
He's now tentative for the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because this thing was a... Like, it was a...
For those who didn't watch, he was basically picked up from the turnbuckle and then dropped haphazardly onto his ass and spine onto the turnbuckle. It looked nasty.
It was insane. It was one of those, ooh, ouch, yike. Yeah, it was, but again, people are calling it the match of the year.
Yeah.
It was that good.
There was little to no story. It was literally just two guys who they said, go kill it.
I have been watching wrestling for 50 plus years. I don't think I've ever seen a better match than that. Like and the only time I could say I've seen a better one or was up there was probably Ospreay and
Omega,
right? Kid is just amazing. And then you hear him talk at the press conference and he's just funny.
Oh,
he's hilarious.
Yeah, when he's in character, he's like the way he connects with the fan base is just like on a different level than anyone else, because it doesn't feel like, sure, he's playing a character, but he's just himself.
Well, and he was talking about the Tiger Driver thing.
Tiger Driver 91?
Yeah, and he says, I know that's going to be banned within 2 months of me being here, because I'm a motherfucking dangerous person to be in the ring with. That's what he said.
But it's funny because, like, I lost my train of thought completely. Literally.
I literally watched your eyes. Gone. And I seen the brain fart come out your eyes and into the universe. It was like, vacant stare. So let's kind of
gone completely.
Let's talk about a few of the matches, because that one was great, obviously. What other match did you think was up there? Leave the last one alone for right now.
The sleeper match of the night for me was Roderick Strong and Orange Cassidy.
Yes.
Because it was a different match than almost any other. Like, honestly, there's maybe two bad matches on this entire card. Two.
Which one?
Timeless Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo.
Yes.
Lots of miffs and muffs and dips and doodles, and there's no chemistry.
For two people who are supposed to know each other really, really well, they have zero chemistry. Like, less than zero.
What were the other matches? The scramble match.
Scramble match, you know what? For what it was better than I expected.
It's clearly setting up something, and they needed to have Wardlow win so the United Kingdom or have the title shot for Adam Cole to come back. Yeah. But it's going to get confusing now because fucking Will Ospreay is the United Empire. Like, that the crowns up that they do, that's the United Empire. Then there's the United Kingdom. Bloody hell. Well,
and at the press conference, Tony Khan announced that Will's next match is going to be against his partner.
Kyle Fletcher, yeah.
Yeah. Makes no sense. Okay, so we had worst match of the night. By far, Toni Storm, which I predicted, by the way, I was right. That was one prediction I was right at last week. the tag team match.
Which tag team match?
Blackpool Diamond Club. Yeah. Diamond Club.
Blackpool Combat Club?
Yeah. Against FTR. I don't know where I got Diamond Club. 5 hours sleep.
It was a good match.
Yeah.
It wasn't a typical
match. Nothing fancy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the last match because we don't have a lot of time.
Yes. Well, no, sorry. First, before, let's talk about the triple threat match. I thought they made the wrong decision completely.
It's horrible.
They made Samoa Joe the beating dummy for the entire match, and then they have him win.
By tap out to Adam Page. Like, come on.
The story
wasn't... I get where they're going to go with this story. Adam can now come out and say, I warned you, Swerve, you weren't going to win. I made sure you didn't win.
But... that's great. That's a story for Hangman, Adam Page, and Swerve goddamn Strickland. That's not a story for Samoa Joe. Joe was in this match only because he held the championship, and they have no other people that they could put him against, I guess.
Can we call him the lame duck champion? Because really, what has he got?
But not just you can't blame Samoa Joe for that.
No, he's great.
He's been given nothing.
Nothing.
And he's...
they put up... I like him. I like him a lot. But they put up Taz's son.
Hook. I thought that match was great.
It was a great match, but there was no story to it.
But that match didn't need a story to me. That match was just a match.
You need a storyline for the World Championship. And you don't have one. I 100%
agree. And they haven't had one since MJF.
Yes.
Right? Like, don't get me wrong. MJF getting injured and needing time off. Or, I mean, definitely didn't sign a new contract and won't make a surprise appearance at one point. Adam Cole getting injured. Like, it threw a lot of obstacles in the way of this storyline.
Definitely.
But you need to be able to adapt.
Yes.
And we've seen it multiple times now where AEW isn't good at adapting.
They've lost their way with it, with just the Everything else seems to be going pretty well. It's just the world champion. The women's division is lost completely. They need to take that belt off Storm and give it to somebody.
She can actually goddamn wrestle.
Completely useless. Freaking black and white goddamn garbage shit.
Speaking of garbage black and white, let's talk about Sting. Boom! Got him.
Garbage. I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap, young man. That is Sting! You kidding me?
What'd you think
you
of the match?
Have to admit, that was a cool freaking last match.
There was so much to it.
I mean, it was a spot match, obviously, because the Bucks were in it.
It was a spot match with a crash and burn artist.
Oh my
Darby
God.
Allin. And Sting just being there to have his last match and do some stupid shit as a 65-year-old.
And Shivanti yelling, Darby's going to bleed out!
They literally had to tape his skin back together. I don't know if you know this.
During the press conference, he's like, I was getting stitched up in the back, but I wanted to come out because it's Sting. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude.
It's insane.
For those who didn't watch it, he climbed a 20-foot ladder, I think. I don't know how tall that ladder was.
15 or 20 feet.
And intentionally dove through a glass pane put over top of chairs, and nobody was there but him. It was really scary. It was typical.
It was real, just wild.
Yeah.
And then they announced, so Sting and Darby Allin won.
Yes.
I still don't know how I feel about that, to be completely honest.
Have they talked about the tag team? What's happened
now? Yes, Tony has announced that they are vacated, and there will be a tournament.
Oh, whose idea was that? Mine. Prediction number two, I was right.
Oh my God, you might actually get like three predictions right. Is that the 3-0 you were talking about? Or?
Yes! What can I win in two wrestling wins? 3-0.
I'm so torn on having Sting win his final match. Because clearly he deserved it.
He did. And if you listen to Sting at the press conference, he didn't want to. He wanted to lose.
Yeah, like he grew up in the territory age where you're leaving the territory, you
drop.
Go out, you put yourself out on the mat, you put over whoever the new champ is.
Yes, you drop the title. He didn't want to win the title. They forced him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he talked about it at the press conference. You got to watch that one as well. They're on Twitter under AEW. Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting to hear that he was planning to walk away. And now I think Tony has talked him into being part of the booking team.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah, so which will be kind of cool. But, I mean, it was a final match. It was a total tribute to Sting. Having his kids come out with him, that was cool.
Dressed up in the different eras of Sting.
The I hate you spot, I fucking loved.
That's the Young Bucks. We're not sorry, I hate you.
Yes, and then that's super right. That was just, if you don't know what we're talking about, it doesn't matter. It won't make any sense to you, but go back and watch WWE Ric Flair's final match. Or retirement match number 1543. I give the pay-per-view overall probably an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. It just feels like a long... I know we started it late.
Yes.
Like we were about an hour and a half behind.
So we could have finished at 10:30, which would have been reasonable.
No, it would have been 10 that it was over at.
Yeah. Yeah, because it started
I got home at midnight. I got back home to Edmonton.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But still, that's 4 hours of pay-per-view.
But that's normal for a pay-per-view now.
It's too long.
I agree.
Put the, put the BCC match and the eight-man scramble onto the pre-show.
Yes.
Cool.
Did you just say put Moxley onto a pre-show? Wow. Yeah. What have they done to Moxley?
They haven't done anything to Moxley. They've made it so pay-per-view, like, from my understanding of their contracts, they're guaranteed upside contracts. They're not pay-per-view bonus contracts from comments. So, hey, you want to go sell a pay-per-view? Put on Jon Moxley on the pre-show for free. This is the type of content you're going to get if you pay for this. True, this is what we're putting out for free. What are you going to see on the actual pay-per-view?
Yeah, true. True story. What would you give it out of 10?
I'd say 7.5, 8. It just, again, the only marks off are the women's match was just not good.
Brutal. Moxley match was a typical Moxley match.
Which is okay. There's not a lot of stories. They have so much time between pay-per-views, and it feels like it's like, oh, right, we have a pay-per-view. We need to build a story.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, yeah.
Daniel Bryan match, it was decent.
But there was story. I love that match because it was completely different from what I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
The handshake at the end of the match, like everything made sense.
Yes, exactly. It was a finish. It was a finale.
Exactly.
Right?
And a lot of these things that we have issues with, it's not the finale of it.
And maybe that's where we're like used of WWE, where it goes from a pay-per-view to pay-per-view and that's the end of the story.
But if it was WWE and they had pay-per-views monthly, like if it was like that in AEW, cool. I get it. You don't want to end your things. But they have one every 2 or 3 months.
Exactly.
Build these stories out and end them at the pay-per-views.
I agree.
But anything else, the old man?
No, I'm good. It was fun. I'm tired. It was fun.
That's fair. Well, I'm going to let you go so you can go sleep and get your, I would say beauty rest, but I think you'd have to sleep a long time for that. So you beautiful bastards, I appreciate you coming and hanging out tonight. You can find the old man with his other hat on at Cavalli Channeling. You can find him on Twitter or X or whatever it is you want to call it at Old Man HSP. You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, X, whatever you want to call Twitter nowadays. Are we calling it X, Twitter? Whatever it is. You can find me at J Streams. You can find me at Twitch at J Streams here. Check us out on TikTok. We are posting a bunch of content on TikTok, on YouTube Shorts.
We're going viral.
Share it with your friends and family. I don't know what he just tried to say. It came and gurgled into my brain because I was talking. And you beautiful people, have yourself a wonderful night. Mwah. And goodbye.
Why don't I ever get to say goodbye?